Let's sit down within these walls of zero judgments, share a bottle of wine, and talk about life. My name is Sissel, but my friends call me Sis, and I'm shamelessly open. Sis to Sis is a safe space with no such thing as a taboo subject, so sit back and enjoy today's episode. Hi guys, and welcome back finally to the second episode of Sis to Sis. Today's topic is something that is really important to me, but for sure it's also something that is very important to you and everyone else around us. The topic of today is body image and body confidence and the beauty standards. So sit back and enjoy this very long rant that I'm about to go through for you. Why am I making an episode about this? This is a topic that takes up so much space in our heads. I don't think I'm over-exaggerating if I say that almost all of us has been victims of feeling bad in our own bodies. And I'm calling it being a victim because our views are so highly distorted by the society's view of beauty. We all grew up under some kind of term that described beauty, and we either found ourselves inside of those walls, partially inside of them, or completely outside of them. The culture of comparison, especially after social media became so big, has most likely left all of us behind thinking that we don't really fit into any of these boxes of beauty. And beauty is very much a cultural thing. What is considered beautiful in one culture might be looked down upon in another one. A good example of this could be when I filmed a video of me experiencing a rather brutal skincare treatment here in Korea. The doctor would first analyze my face to see what kind of treatments I should get, and he was really quickly to point out that I should definitely remove my small facial moles. I was kind of confused, and I told him that I found them rather attractive and charming, and he made it very clear that he most certainly did not agree. I mentioned later how odd I found it and what of a cultural shock it had been for me, especially since in my country, Denmark, we call them beauty marks. I could see from many of my comments on my video that most of my viewers had the same perspective as me. But now that we are more connected than ever thanks to technology, these cultural beauty lines are fading a bit more in together with each other. This truth might not have been something you've realized yet, and in that case, congratulations, you were born on the lucky spectrum like me. Most cultures have their beauty standard for women literally made it to determine her worth. Beauty standard is kind of a measure of social value, and the more social value, aka beauty, a woman has, the more likely she is to marry a man with wealth, so to say. This sounds really ancient, right? But if you really think about it, we're still following these kinds of mindsets a lot, just in a slightly more modernized version. Another entirely fucked up thing about our views and boxes for beauty is that it has major financial benefits. Most times this has become a topic of conversation. People who wish to brush this issue aside, mostly men though, but are you even surprised? They will draw the conclusion that not only beauty, but beauty together with the charm and social skills is what truly determines the financial value of someone. But what I feel like all of these claims and articles fail to mention is that from the very early stages of our childhood, where we can begin to look at appearances as either good or bad, then the ones falling into the bad category are treated differently. Kids who grow up being called ugly or teased are more likely to pull into themselves, and it will in many cases limit their social growth, willingness to open up, and just in general their confidence. I think we can all agree that this will eventually lead to characteristics of someone who probably won't fit the role of a team leader or manager or CEO positions. So, it all begins with beauty in the first place. And this might sound controversial, but it's definitely worth having discussions about so we understand this discrimination that's still happening. Not only is beauty a financial benefit, it's also in general just going to get you more attention and make you feel more desired. But what happens if the girl to your right gets treated like this, but you get overlooked? I can't even begin to imagine how horrible it will feel and how damaging it might be for this person. So now, it's crucial when we talk about beauty standards, at least those in the West admit, that we label it correctly. Today's standards are extremely colonized. they have roots in the white societies coming from Europe and moving to America. Beauty is mostly what we associate with the white femininity. Actually, this kind of beauty was defined back in the days by white men, and to be more specific, white male supremacists, who labeled white women as the most beautiful. Apparently this was in order to keep the throne or the trophy of the most beautiful women as well. Well, that is kind of fucked up, if you ask me. And there is so much to this topic, but firstly, for those of you who are listening who has never seen a video or a photo of me, I'm white, I'm able-bodied, and I really benefit from pretty privilege. So in the conversation of the racist roots of beauty standard, the first and most important thing someone like me can do is to acknowledge my privilege and support any exposure of colored women, disabled women, plus-size women, elder women, and in general, just untraditional interpretations of beauty. I can't stress how important this is. So I mentioned pretty privilege just there, and a lot of you might ask, what is this? So let me explain. As I mentioned earlier, being socially considered attractive or pretty gets you a lot of benefits, and they're not always really obvious to the eye who isn't looking for it. I remember reading studies about children in school who were more attractive and who would not even get better grades, but also teachers would have higher expectations for them, unconsciously most of the time. We can also see this online. Being pretty often determines how people will treat you when they first see you. Should you be polite or not? So have you ever wondered why your TikTok For You page is mostly filled with pretty white girls dancing and smiling with their bleached teeth? Because we're in generally more likely to like and look at people who fit the traditional beauty standards. So the algorithm supports our habits, and our habits right now shows that we are more likely to like this kind of person. And I'm a content creator too, and I know that I'm a good content creator now, but I can't help but feel like this was what also happened when I first earned my first big chunk of followers when I started out on YouTube. It's a weird feeling. So yes, I have pretty privilege, but that of course doesn't mean that I'm perfect. No one is. But I've always been complimented and included because of how I look. Of course, this doesn't mean that I don't feel insecure or have been criticized for my appearance. Of course I have. A lot, actually. I'm a person who puts herself online, and with that comes a lot of criticism, of course. But this doesn't change the fact that I'm white, I'm tall, I'm slim, I'm rather symmetrized in my face, and I'm able-bodied. All of which is still a major factor of our beauty standards. I first started realizing this as I moved to Korea. This is where I saw a huge difference in how the Korean society welcomes white people versus black or Southeast Asian people. It angers me, and it makes me super uncomfortable. But obviously, probably only a fraction of how people who are actually victims of this are feeling. The more we are aware of this, the closer we're getting to a more inclusive world. Now that we know a little bit more about how damaging and crooked our ancient beauty standards are, let me tell you a bit about my own relationship with myself and my body. Growing up, I wasn't really that popular. I was kind of nerdy, and I was playing those like animal and role games in the forest while the popular girls were sitting in their usual spot looking after the boys. It wasn't until I actually were maybe 13 or something that I started showing interest in being more desired. I tried to kind of infiltrate the group of popular girls, and yeah, I'm proud to say that I succeeded. At this time, I was very, very slim, and I had no acne yet. In fact, the only insecurity I had was that I didn't have those popular Reebok sneakers that the popular girls were wearing. So I started noticing how the boys started being interested in me. And it felt good, I'm not gonna lie. I even got my first boyfriend, and random boys from the neighborhood school would find my number and randomly call me and ask, "You're the hot one, right?" But then at 14-ish, my boyfriend started showing interest in becoming sexually active with me, and it made me extremely uncomfortable at that time. So I ended up breaking up with him because of this, but then I started seeing that I was being treated differently. It kind of started to feel like the only thing people, or boys, wanted from me was, you know, my body or to be sexually active with me, or, I mean, we were really young, everyone, but, you know, that was still how I felt. And I wasn't really knowing about the socially objectification of the female body at that age. All I remember was that it was extremely uncomfortable. And the boys obviously probably didn't know about this either, but, you know, they grew up in this society, so they have learned that that is what you do, which is horrible. Like, moms and dads, please teach your men better. Thank you. But then I started gymnasium, which is the Danish version of high school. Students here are usually 16, 17 to 19-ish years old. I started when I was 15, though. And this completely changed how people saw me. Actually, no one really saw me there. At least, not the boys. So when I was ready to start dating, I found myself interested in mostly older guys, because these were the guys who saw me. And actually, now sitting and thinking about it, how I felt about myself was very often a reflection of how other people saw me, and especially the boys. So during my time in gymnasium, my body changed a lot. I firstly started developing more ladylike shapes. I've already gotten my boobs, which, by the way, I was very fortunate with. But I started getting wider hips and thighs as well, and this became a huge insecurity of mine. Not even to start mentioning my skin condition, because this is where my acne really took off. And all of the girls who got the attention, they were the really slim ones who had the nice round butt, but then slim thighs. So naturally, I started comparing myself to the girls who got the attention. This is also the time that I started my YouTube channel. And while I got lots of good comments, my insecurity turned my focus to the bad comments, saying that I had unclean skin, a big forehead, that I was fat, etc. Also, another thing changed during my last years in this school. I gained a lot of weight. It was such a big insecurity of mine, to the point where I would sometimes squeeze my body fat so hard that it would hurt while I was crying because I just felt so horrible. I remember this being the worst I have ever felt in my own body. The guy I was also in love with didn't show me the interest I wanted, but mostly just seemed to want to see me during the nights of the weekends. More and more, "you have gained weight" comments were sent my way, both online but also offline from family members. When my exams were over and I had graduated school, my mom one day pulled me aside and told me, "Cecil, I'm very concerned about how much weight you've gained." And now guys, this might sound really harsh, but she was legit concerned about my health, since she had just seen her own mother fall into obesity and developing diabetes, and eventually seen her body give up in the fight over cancer because it was so weak. So I get her, and I wasn't angry with her, but I cried a lot. I cried so much because she had really hit me right where it hurt the most. My body was such a huge insecurity to me, and now my own mother was commenting on it as well. But at the end of the day, I'm really thankful that she did, because this is where I decided to change my lifestyle. My sister had been vegan for a while at this point, and I had never really understood it. But one thing I did understand, I had seen her become happier, more glowing, and physically healthier as well. So I decided to start my own research. It didn't take more than a few documentaries and her supportive words to convince me, and pretty much overnight, I became fully vegan. What was so beautiful about this transition was that I wasn't focused on eating this to become thinner. I actually got so obsessed over improving my health in the absolute best way possible. And it did. I felt so energized and amazing, and my relationship to my body improved as I got healthier. I'm so thankful to my sister for being this inspiration for me, to inspire me to make this big lifestyle change. I still remember how it felt. It was just so amazing. And I was so confident. I felt like there was nothing that could touch me. I became more social as well. I became better at my job. I became motivated and more happy. And I can't deny that I also felt better because I fit more into the beauty standards. I mean, that most certainly had a huge impact as well. But sitting here right now, knowing that I'm not nearly as healthy, yet still fitting into the beauty standards, I'm feeling not at all as good as then. It's something to think about, at least. The next part of this podcast will include some thoughts and history of disordered eating. So if you have any issues with eating and your body that will trigger you in a really negative way, please stop the podcast and refer down to the description notes to see where there will no longer be any eating disorder related content. So the amazing feeling that I had, it lasted maybe around 8 months' time. When my move to Korea and visa was confirmed, I started feeling a huge pressure. How would I fit into a country where most people are significantly smaller than me? This thought ended up taking such an unhealthy amount of space in my head. And it's kind of ironic since Korean people aren't even as small as people say. I started feeling so stressed about this that the love and confidence that I had developed to my body started vanishing, and a huge black hole of weight stress filled in instead. At this time, I learned to throw up the food that I had eaten. I would feel so stressed that even though I was just eating vegetables, I couldn't stand the feeling of feeling full. I felt like I wouldn't lose weight if I wasn't constantly hungry. I also started being so fixated on the number on the scale. And can I just tell you right now to throw out that scale? They say absolutely nothing about your health. Everybody is so unique that even BMI is a big round of bullshit. Of course, for someone who's having a very unhealthy relationship with weight, this is easier said than done. At least it was for me. For me, the numbers on the scale meant so much that I would even stop weightlifting on my legs and my butt and start doing more cardio because I knew how heavy muscles were, and I was so scared it would make me look chubby or unattractive to Korean people. The reason why this meant so much to me was because I knew that I would have to rely on getting modeling jobs once I was in Korea, because I wasn't making enough money from YouTube yet. At least not enough to be able to sustain a full life there at the time. So, I mean, at the end of the day, my stress came from a very understandable standpoint, since I was so scared that I wouldn't earn any money and had to live super poorly or maybe even have to go back home and give up my dreams of being an entrepreneur abroad. So I ended up losing so much weight that my mom once again had to come and sit down with me and express her concerns. She didn't see me getting unhealthily thin. I was never too thin or whatever, but honestly, that's another huge misconception that we have about people who suffer from eating disorders. We think that just because someone isn't extremely underweight, they can't be suffering from anorexia or bulimia. Or if someone isn't overweight, they don't suffer from binge eating disorder. But my mom saw that there was an issue. I was way too obsessed over food. I knew a little too well how many calories different things would include and how heavy my food was. This time was different from the last talk we had, though, since this time I didn't listen to her. And I didn't tell her about my thoughts or issues. I knew that it would be hard for her to understand where it was coming from. So this continued into the day where I moved to Korea. After moving to Korea, my relationship with myself, my face, and my body has been one huge roller coaster. On one side, I have never felt as beautiful as I did when I first came here because of all of the compliments and attention I got from people. On the other hand, the beauty standards and the length people would go to follow them here is just so incredibly high. So naturally, it just doesn't feel like you can ever go high enough when it comes to beauty here. You're always compared with someone, and the Korean culture is very loose about commenting on each other's appearances. I do not have count on how many times I've been told I look tired because I wasn't wearing makeup, that I should try to cleanse my face better because I'd gotten a few pimples, or that I had gained way too much weight since coming there. At one of the modeling shoots that I did here, around a year after my move, a director was actually telling me that my decline to his dinner invitation was because I must be wanting to lose that excess weight of mine. Isn't it crazy? People just think that's normal to tell each other here. And that night, I went home and I was crying. It's so natural here. And back home, that is considered extremely rude. But here is not really something rude. To them, it's more like they're helping you reach the beauty standards more, which honestly seems like being the life goal of many people here. Also, something that I have heard so many times from Westerners who doesn't live in Korea is that they automatically assume that you will be idolized for your looks just because you're a foreigner. And this is really untrue. Yeah, I would say that they have looser standards for white beauty, but when it comes to black people, and especially Southeast Asian beauty, they are a very, very judgmental society. Like many other societies are, not just monogamous countries, but honestly, this is sadly the racist reality we still live in. It's a huge issue, even here. As someone who has especially dealt with a lot of disordered eating and bulimia, it's not at all a place that's easy to heal in. I'm following a lot of Korean YouTubers, and I really often watch their videos for tips on cute places to visit, fashion trends, Korean language improvement, or just for general entertainment. But I have come to notice that most channels include some kind of dieting video series or eating-themed videos. I just, in general, think there's a lot wrong with diet culture, and especially if you are a public figure showing this online. But on these channels and among Korean viewers and creators, these extreme diets and disturbing mindsets about the topic weight and dieting is completely collectively accepted by everyone. It shocked me so much. Now, I have to give a little disclaimer as well here, because I'm not a doctor and I'm not a dietitian or a psychologist. So I'm in no place to diagnose anyone, and that is not the point of me saying this. But there are so many characteristics of unhealthy or obsessive thoughts about food and health. These YouTubers would film themselves eating 500 calories every day and say how proud they are or how guilty they feel if they eat rice. But the thing that disturbs me the most, however, is that all of the viewers are treating it as something that's normal or as a motivation. I mean, if you compare it to maybe a Western content creator, if they would post something like that, they would have a lot of negative reactions from people saying that this is a very unhealthy mindset to promote for younger viewers. But honestly, the standards here are so high that girls have literally accepted that this is just necessary to achieve what they want to achieve. Obviously, women play a huge part in defining what the beauty standards are. But I also just want to leave this out here. Every time I have asked or witnessed someone asking a guy what their ideal type of girl would be like, they would always answer that she has to be pretty. There is a lot of things wrong with beauty standards here, that's for sure. There is with beauty standards in all cultures, if you ask me. But this doesn't go without saying that obviously these views that I am being rather frustrated about right now doesn't represent all people here, of course. But when these views are so widely spread, you can't help but feeling like it's absolutely consuming you while living here in Korea. So yeah, I'm still dealing with some unhealthy thoughts about my body. And I'm also still dealing with feeling the urge to throw food up sometimes. It's thankfully only getting better right now, and my whole self-love journey has improved how I'm feeling about my body so much. So what helped me snap out of this? I honestly don't know what started to change in my head that made me start this journey. I wouldn't know a simple answer if someone asked me. But I think it's good that I'm trying to answer that with kind of like a stream of consciousness right now. The first thing that pops up in my head is feminism. Feminism stands for a lot of things, but most basically it means the equality between all sexes and people who don't define themselves by any sex at all. Equality to everyone. How beautiful does that not sound? Me defining myself as a feminist and overcoming the fear of the men who would be scared away by that word has put a certain power to my womanhood. Yeah, a feeling of power definitely came to me. Not really a feeling like now I'm going to take over the world and send men to burn for all eternity in hell, obviously. The feeling was more like a power that I was always supposed to have had, to take control over defining my own body and beauty. This power is stripped away from women because of the society and the patriarchy. And I was finally able to claim that power back little by little. I don't feel like I have it fully yet, but it's definitely a huge difference from before. Just defining myself as someone who was the only person who was allowed to say anything about my body gave the courage to fight back men and women and anonymous commenters on my social media. This power not only came with me starting to call myself a feminist, but it came with me actively joining this community of strong women speaking up and sharing so much positivity online. I'm reading articles and blog posts, and I'm actively talking to my friends, guys and girls, about this. Guys, this doesn't come naturally. We have to actively seek communities that gives us the energy that we need. Sitting and just telling yourself how you would like to feel about yourself one day is only going to take you so far. We have to go out there and seek it. I really recommend podcasts and Instagram accounts. Just try to search on Spotify or Instagram for keywords you love. That will definitely start to take you on your journey. So how can we spread more body love? Life is a journey. It's not about reaching any point in your life and then it's suddenly going to be a dance on pink amazing clouds with confidence, love, supporting partners, wealth, or amazing sex. Nope, that's not how it works, guys. There is not one door that once you find it and get good enough to pick the lock, you're just going to enter into this world. The only door in the end to find is death, and that is the only one true fact of life. I always talk a lot about the process. But the process is what you have to fully embrace. The process is life, and the end is death. That doesn't mean that you have to tell yourself to endure or think positively about yourself all the time to be happy. Feeling bad in your body fucking sucks, but if you think you'll first be happy when you're fitting into the beauty standards, then you will never actually be happy. Because these beauty standards are defined by ourselves, and they're ever evolving. So remember in the beginning of the episode, I was saying that the beauty standards were defined by the society? Well, let me break it to you, but we are the society. You, me, your parents, your partners. Honestly, we're all so obsessed about cursing the society for putting so much pressure on us, while we don't even stop to think about who really puts us in this situation we're in. Most of what I'm saying now is perfectly put down by a blog post from Opinionated Doc called We Blame Society, But We Are Society. So I highly recommend you to read that for a bit deeper of a rant. What she puts to words so beautifully is that society is usually the majority of a population. But what we are seeing more and more is that people are hating so much on the society and whatever evilness it's putting over us that we're turning into the majority. We are being so angry at it for giving us these insane and unrealistic beauty standards that stresses us out and makes us lose ourselves and forget how we look. And I get it. I mean, how dare they? Or how dare we? It almost seems like we are all so angry at cursing out the majority. But guys, doesn't it feel like we are becoming the majority? Aren't most of us tired of this society by now? And doesn't that mean that we are now the majority? We are now becoming the actual society. If you think about it, it does make sense. We're constantly evolving throughout times and changing society because old views and trends becomes outdated. Our parent society, for example, has stricter rules for gender roles, sexuality, racism, etc. But younger generations are changing and evolving. But here's the truth. It doesn't change if we don't constantly point out the flaws of however the society is currently looking like. And just speaking up isn't enough. It's something, but it's not enough. We have to start to support people who fit the outside of the old school definition of beauty actively. We also have to start throwing ourselves out there. And I think the first steps of posting a photo that show the true you, or wearing that crop top, or leaving your natural hair unpermed, it's not going to be easy at first. But I think this is the sacrifice that we will have to start making in order for the society to change. Because the more that we show the true us, the more we inspire others to do the same, and the quicker we can be comfortable doing so. And then again, I feel like such a hypocrite saying this, especially since I too edit my photos and mostly only post the polished look on my feed. A few steps that I have taken over the past 6 months' time is to show myself more from my raw and real sides on my stories and on my YouTube channel. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but I'm making a lot more ugly faces and I'm showing a lot more of my natural double chin. I hope you've noticed it. Actually, I hope you haven't, but I hope it makes you feel better. I can say that it gets easier the more I do it, and one day I really hope to embody this confidence a bit more, so hopefully I can even inspire someone else. And with those words, it's time for the Q&A segment of this episode. I've asked you on Instagram about any questions or areas you're curious about regarding the topic of body confidence and beauty standards. And you certainly came through, I must say. If you don't already, you can follow my Instagram, which is at CecilAB, which is at @SISSEL_AB. So let's take the first question here. It says, can beauty standards be used in a positive way? Honestly, I think the whole word has a really negative meaning. A standard means that there is a bar for what's made the cut and what didn't. So I honestly don't like it at all. I would say you should decide for yourself how you define beauty. And it sounds kind of cliche, but it doesn't have to evolve your physical appearance at all. I mean, obviously we all have an idea of what physical beauty is. For example, personally, the first word that I think about when someone says curly hair and freckles is beautiful. But beauty to me is much more about confidence and the energy that I feel from someone. So my tip to you is to just redefine the word, throw it out, perhaps together with your ex, and just start to feel deep down what beauty really means to you. And certainly don't make it a standard. The next question says, I'm scared to show my arms, chest, and back because of my acne. How can I become more confident? This is actually really interesting because I used to deal a lot with acne, especially on my back as well. Honestly, I feel you. I didn't want to show my back either. But over the years, I have found out exactly how many of the people that I knew who dealt with the same thing as me. And I can only think about how much I would have wished that someone would just put on a tank top and walk around like it was nothing. That would have definitely made me feel better and less consumed by it. But seriously, if someone isn't doing that in your surroundings, maybe we should be that person. I think that the hard part is just deciding to do it and get out of the door, but I think you will find that people don't really notice it or think anything about it once you do so. The only people who would notice it probably would be the people who is dealing with the same thing. And they for sure will look up to you and admire your confidence and hopefully do the same one day and normalize that our skin does this thing called acne. The next question here is really interesting. It says, how to get rid of fear of aging as a woman? If you ask me personally, I really don't have any fear of this whatsoever. And I know why. I literally grew up with my mom, who would talk about how much she looked forward to the day that her hair would be getting gray. And when I asked her why, she said that it's because it radiates knowledge and confidence to her. She has also always loved the lines around her eyes. She always told me that these wrinkles and fine lines around the eyes is true beauty to her. And that's because of how you can see that someone has spent their life smiling. My mom has only ever talked about aging as something beautiful, and I think that's why I feel the same. So try to practice looking at people's faces of different ages. You can almost see their life in their unique way of aging, and it's absolutely beautiful. Another question here asks, how to overcome shyness around your boyfriend? I always hear answers to this kind of question saying that if the guy is the right guy for you, you wouldn't feel insecure. But honestly, that is the worst bullshit anyone could ever spit out. I mean, sorry for my language. But obviously, a shitty man with twisted ideas of how a woman should look or be in bed is bad. I do blame the porn industry for that. But it always starts inside of yourself. To me, the answer is self-love. You have to start to define this for yourself and practice it on a daily basis. First step is always to acknowledge everything that your body does for you. It carries you everywhere and it brings you pleasure. It's the temple for your heart and the soul, and it deserves to be worshipped like a god. Second step is to realize that our insecurities about ourselves aren't real. They only exist inside of our own heads. And honestly, there are lots of super twisted and untrue thoughts in our heads. We shouldn't trust our thoughts as much as we do, if you ask me. Especially when it comes to our bodies and looks, since they mostly only exist because of the society's messed up definition of femininity, existing to mostly please the male gaze. But girl, you are a magnificent goddess who deserves love and pleasure from everyone. But first and most importantly, you deserve it from yourself. The last question says, what is the best method to shave or wax down there? Is it something you feel necessary to be confident? So personally, I don't really have a preference, to be honest. Both hair and no hair can make me feel really sexy. One thing that I do know, though, is that it is extremely uncomfortable to shave your vagina or vulva or yoni or whatever you want to call it. Honestly, I do prefer to call her yoni. It sounds adorable. Anyways, I found that what makes me feel most comfortable is to get sugar waxing once a month. Then I'm smooth for 2 weeks and hairy for 2 weeks. And no itching stubs and painful shaving bumps, that's for sure. So to me, it's all about comfort. And I think it definitely should be to you as well. Comfort honestly makes me feel sexy and confident for sure. And this wraps up our Q&A section, guys. And with that said as well, episode 2 of my podcast. I really had such a learningful experience digging deep down into this topic of self-love and beauty standards and body confidence. And I did learn a lot of new things. I hope that you did as well while listening to this episode. If you do have any comments or questions or anything, you can send me a little voice message on the Anchor app, or you can just send me a DM on my Instagram. I'm always open to hear about whatever you have to say. So for you who are listening, I hope you're having a beautiful day or night, wherever you are in this world. And I hope to see you guys in the next episode of Sistesis. Bye.